Welcome to There's an Elephant in Your Office. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Andrea.
And together, we're advancing the conversation about mental health in the workplace.
Yeah, and today we're bringing you a very special episode to discuss a new elephant in our collective office. The coronavirus.
That's a big elephant, that coronavirus.
It's a huge elephant, and it's not hidden in camouflage. It's actually right out front. Maybe it's not even hidden at all. It's drastically and quickly shifting almost everyone's normal day-to-day life and routine. And this is especially challenging for those in the service industry, hourly workers, those with kids out of school who are trying to work remotely, the list goes on. And, you know, we're on this learning curve together. And so Ashley and I wanted to do a special episode to kind of talk through what we've seen and best practices that we could maybe share to make it a little easier for all of us to get used to this new normal.
Right, because mental illness doesn't magically disappear just because there's a new virus. There are viruses and illnesses all the time, and we still have to deal with our anxiety, with our depression, with our OCD, with whatever it is that is part of us. And so I want to highlight a few things that are happening in the workplace right now. So you may have people working remotely. You may be like me and work in healthcare. The hospital never closes. So my department, we're still going to work every day. And we are having to figure out how to maximize some of our special skills. And that may include if you're the person who really likes things clean, there's a woman in our office who it is now her job. Every couple of hours, she wipes down the conference table. She cleans all the doorknobs. She gets all the bleach wipes. And this is something that makes her feel that the environment is clean and safe. And it's also helping us. So we're using.
Right. That's a good point. Nobody's making her clean these things. It's helping her anxiety to do that.
That's right. If you have somebody who gets really antsy, and now that there's a lot of uncertainty, they just really can't sit still. Okay, let's use that to our advantage. They're now a runner. They're going to run things across the street. They're going to go get the mail delivered. They're going to do whatever it is that keeps them up and moving, because that's what's helpful to them and the organization at the same time.
Yeah, I feel like there are going to be a lot of new creative line items in people's resumes for expanded job skills as they discover some of these extra things that they can contribute.
Absolutely. And it doesn't even have to involve peopling. So if you're more introverted and maybe you like to keep things on a schedule, okay, somebody has to schedule all of these virtual meetings. Give that person an assignment to get in there and make sure everybody's calendars are up to date. Here's a list. Make sure everybody knows how to use this software and that software. So it's kind of thinking outside of the box, so that your employees who may normally, I don't want to say suffer, but who struggle sometimes at work, let's use what their difficulties are and turn them into positives.
Yeah, and to add on to that, I think in times of uncertainty and stress for a lot of people, having a job or an action that is tangible that they can do to contribute helps ease the fear and make it feel a little more normal. So I think those are great ideas and things to keep in mind. Like, what's a real thing you can give someone to do that will help? And so delegating those kinds of things is the best time for that. Even if you think, well, I've got to do it and make it all perfect for my staff or my team, letting other people do some of the work can help them feel better too.
Yeah, it makes them feel important and needed and part of the team. I can tell you my job the last several days has been to make sure people have food and that they eat it. Again, yeah. Hospital doesn't close. People are working around the clock. So I'm braving the elements to go out and forage for food at the grocery stores and bring it back to the office and, you know, try to make sure people have some healthy food to put in their bodies so that they can take care of patients, you know, without sugar highs and lows.
Yeah, that's a very important job.
Yeah.
So
plus it gets me out of the office some, and you know, I feel like I am helping and contributing for the people who can't leave. I guess I'm I'm now the person who's like, eat, eat. Did you eat yet? Here. I've taken people's food to their desk. I have opened doors of meetings and said, okay, do you want cheese? No cheese. I mean, this is just my life right now, and I'm totally okay with it because it helps me feel like I'm contributing, and it keeps me from sitting down and just getting into kind of a rut of negative thoughts, which is not going to help in this situation.
Right. And food is a great connector, and people have to eat. So that's always a good one. I'm always happy to bring snacks too. And a good reminder to eat healthy foods and not just the easy vending machine stuff.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think it is important, of course, to keep in mind those who are already struggling and how they might be coping with these added stressors and, you know, the endless news cycle. But I think there are also some other groups that maybe aren't as thought of that are probably equally struggling. So I think of highly sensitive people who really pick up on the emotions of others and the group, and how, you know, the news being so dire and scary that they can start to feel overwhelmed. I think of people who are lonely, especially those who live alone, older people, even extroverts who need that social energy to maintain their own energy levels.
Yeah, when you tell an extrovert that they have to go home and isolate and not come to work and have that camaraderie, that's really difficult for those people.
Yeah, it's a big deal because they actually draw energy from being around other people. And, you know, introverts unite. They've been preparing for this their whole lives.
That's right.
As I've seen the funny memes. But the extroverts are in a tough position. And of course, just people who live alone, who are working remotely, who just literally aren't seeing any other humans face to face, that can be really challenging. And I think the biggest category that I haven't heard as much discussion of are people with unsafe or unstable living conditions. And so if you're saying you just need to be in your home, well, what if that's not a safe or stable place to be?
Yeah, that would definitely make my anxiety go off the charts if I lived in an unsafe household and now I was home with maybe a partner who was not good to me and who has lots of time on their hands. That is one thing we've talked about, is the alcohol consumption has increased. Yeah. And I guess it will continue to increase because people are off. And so, you know, let's just sit around and drink. What else do we have to do? And that can lead down some really bad roads for lots of reasons.
Yeah, and your employees are not going to probably discuss that with you. But if there is someone who's like, I know it's recommended we don't come in, but I really want to come and work in the office. I will stay 6 feet away or 10 feet away from anyone else. I really, for whatever reason, internet or whatever they're telling you, just it's good to keep in mind that there may be other reasons that they don't want to share. And depending on your business plan and you know, what you've laid out, if somebody truly wants to come into the office, I would consider if that's possible.
Yeah, we're going to definitely have to have lots of flexibility. I was going to say this week, next week, next month, for however long it takes.
For the foreseeable future.
For the foreseeable future, that's right. Something I'll throw out there for people who are still in the office, some kind of a creative outlet. So what, again, I guess in my office, what we've done before is we had a giant banner on the wall, but it was like a coloring page. So we attached it to the wall with some tape. We had a box of crayons. And as you went through your day, you could go in there and just stand and color for a minute and go back.
Did people do it?
They did. We made the most beautiful, it was at Christmas time. So it was the most beautiful scenic, I don't know, it was candy canes and I guess we're all about food. It was candy canes and candy and
the holiday spirit.
Yeah. And it really was calming, but it also let people stand in there and kind of talk a little bit as they colored. In this case, we would stay 6 feet apart while we colored and then we would sanitize all the crayons.
but some kind of thing to connect and see some beauty and be a little creative. When everything else is so intense, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm even thinking make a bingo card that your staff can use when you have to have your virtual meetings. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that you can think of. So just try and remember a creative outlet. Somebody really needs that in your group.
Yeah, and the internet is nothing but creative right now. So there's all kinds of ideas and companies that are making their content free and accessible to people. So I think it's in our best interest to separate what's in our control and what isn't. Try to limit the news we're watching. I mean, do we really need to know which cruise ship is quarantined if no one we know is on that cruise ship?
No, turn it off.
I mean, you have to draw the line somewhere, or it's just overwhelming.
Yeah, and I've been watching, so Mental Health America is a national mental health resource. They're really great free resource for anybody business-wise or just personally. And they offer some online screenings, like a quiz. And their rate of people screening positive for anxiety has just really escalated the last couple weeks. And so if that's something that you're struggling with and you need a resource and a way to figure out, am I normal stressed? Or have I now crossed the line into, I need some help addressing my stress? Mental Health America is a really great way to go. And they've also got their crisis lines. And there's a thing called a warm line. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No, I haven't.
So instead of crisis, you know, I'm not in a crisis, but I might be struggling. So I can call a warm line, WARM, and it's peer support. So I call and I talk to people who are just people. And I say, hey, I feel like this and I'm really struggling. I'm not in a crisis. I don't need to go to the emergency room or anything. But could you talk to me for a few minutes? And they
do. Wow, that's really great.
Yeah, they do. And it's free. It's amazing. And so you can even Google warm lines. And it'll come up. There's all different ones. They've got some that are virtual, some that you can text, some that you can actually call. So Mental Health America is where I would send people if they're really wanting a resource that isn't crisis level, but is beyond what you can handle on your own.
I think that's a good distinction and one that we don't really talk about in day-to-day life, but right now it's probably more pertinent than ever. Because social distancing and quarantine, and that can very quickly lead to isolation, and that's not good for anybody's mental health. And so, you know, you could call the warm line, or, you know, we got to figure out, how do we still stay connected? Do you do a video chat? Do you FaceTime your best friend and just watch a show together? Even just chat while you're cleaning out your closet? You know, anything to see people, talk to people, and feel connected, even if you're not physically in the same place.
That's right. And it is, it's a learning curve. We're going to have to figure it out. And one thing I've been seeing is outside is not closed. So go outside.
Right.
You can still
go outside.
Yeah, you can leave your house. You just don't want to congregate once you go outside. Outside is really good for you in a lot of ways. And so that's another one. If you're not in crisis, but you're struggling more than usual, what can you do outside to find a little peace? Or it could be the opposite. Somebody I work with, you know, again, healthcare, high stress, they're like, I just need to go run. I got to run all of this energy out. Okay, do it. Go run. You'll feel better.
Absolutely. And if you're in a city or somewhere that, you know, outside really doesn't do it for you, any kind of movement is better than nothing. So there are a lot of gyms and online fitness programs offering free classes. And if you don't even want to mess with that, YouTube is a constant source of pretty much every workout of every level that you could ever want. And so just moving your body, even if you're in a tiny apartment and you really can't go outside, is better than just sitting at your, you know, kitchen table doing work or in front of the TV.
At your makeshift desk. I've seen all kinds of hilarious pictures of, this is my ironing board. It's my new laptop desk.
Right. And all the ergonomic nightmares. Okay. I'm going to not think about that right now.
Yeah. That's for another time in another podcast. Definitely. But maybe.
Yeah, I'd say.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the last kind of thing that I think could help people if they've been on the fence about trying to give mindfulness or meditation a try. That can also really help keep you grounded in the present moment. And it could be something as simple as just sitting and listening to the birds outside. They also have apps, like the Calm app is a really good one, and you can try it for free. So even 2 minutes of just trying to be centered and mindful with your own breath can really, you know, take the pressure off.
Yeah, and you don't have to have a mantra and sit in a certain position and, you know, make it all like you see in a movie or a book. It's literally just take some time to quiet yourself and be like, oh, hey, there I am.
Right. And if you want to make it a whole production and sit in your pretzel and get a mantra, that's cool. Do that too. But it's not a requirement for mindfulness.
And then you're going to have to send somebody to get me out of the pretzel.
Right. There's an age limit for the pretzel.
Yeah, that may not go well. Oh, well, speaking of laptops and ironing boards and, well, we said we're not talking about ergonomics, but remote work and working from home, that's kind of a new challenge, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for bosses. It's going to be tough for the employees. What are you thinking are some of the challenges that are going to come up this week in the foreseeable future as people have a new work environment?
Yeah, well, for one, I think there's a lot of barriers, real barriers, and then I think there's a lot of imaginary barriers. So the real barriers are, do you have an actual laptop you can take? Does your internet work? Do you have a space to be that you can focus without dogs, pets, neighbors, kids, you know, anything kind of interrupting you for periods of time? So those are real things that people are going to have to work through. But they're imaginary barriers that we're like, but I can't do that because I'm not in the office and I can't walk over to that person. You know, we're going to have to be a lot more creative as we figure out how to do the things we need to do without being able to walk over and have that quick chat. The internet messaging and the email and the phone calls and the horror of all the millennials and Gen Z that they may have to call someone on the phone is going to be real.
Too. Yeah, I was like, what if I don't want to call somebody? We're going to have to work this out.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk to people on the phone, which sounds ridiculous, but it's just not something people really do that often anymore. We're going to have to get comfortable with video chat. So even though we're at home, you still have to be presentable because you may be on a video chat, especially if this, you know, continues for a while. You can't be in your yoga pants and, I mean, you can, but maybe put a business top
on. That's right. I think our human resources department was working on some language about department video meetings. And while you don't have to adhere strictly to the dress code, please use, you know, good common sense and wear pants and, you know, make sure you do look presentable because eek.
Right. Well, and I think for managers or team leads or project managers, checking in with the team more often than they usually do is a good idea. And there will be a learning curve and productivity levels will return to normal, but we just got to hit a groove. So being understanding that everybody's going to have to figure it out, I think will go a long way and help people not feel so pressured that their productivity may not be exactly what it is in the office right out the gate.
I think that's a really good point as a manager or even higher up, you know, as a CEO, that trickle down message of we're figuring it out at the top. We don't have specific instructions for you. So you just go with us. We're going to do the best we can and no one is going to be penalized or fired or punished because they can't accomplish the exact tasks that they were doing last month. It's a new ball game. We got to figure it out. So I hope that the people in power can try and reassure their employees of that because there are a lot of people who do really worry.
Absolutely. And those high achievers that have those expectations for themselves and may blur the boundaries because there isn't any artificial coming and going from work. You know, setting those work hour expectations and availability expectations for yourself, but also from a team view. So everyone knows that, okay, here are the core hours that we're all expected to be available, to have calls, meetings, chats. That's important when you're remote. And what are people's preferred method of communication? Kind of back to the whole phone thing.
Yeah, what works for your group? If you have a whole bunch of tech people who are introverted and they straight up don't want to talk on the phone, awesome. Set up something different. Whatever works.
Right. Maybe they don't mind video as much because it feels more like a real meeting. I mean, you can't do everything over chat and email, so people have to give a little bit. But, what are people's preferred modes? And then go from
Yeah, and
there.
it really depends on your business also. I think there's going to be people in manufacturing or delivery, and it's going to be all hands on deck. You're not going to have a chance to breathe all day. So even if you are anxious or depressed, you don't even have time to deal with that. And then there's going to be other people who their work is closed and they're either home alone or they're trying to be a teacher and a tutor and a work from home person at the same time. And so that has its own challenges. It's just going to be a really interesting next few weeks.
It really is. And it's a good point because not everybody can work from home. And some people are really stressed because they're on the job doing more than they've been asked to do and they're run ragged. And that's kind of different than I think what we're trying to talk about is how do we keep business going when some people are in and out of the office. And for those that can't work, that's a totally different hardship. But I think the last kind of tip, I think, that would really help managers is to not forget to connect with their peers because managers in the same organization are going to have similar challenges. They're on the same networks, the same tools. So, if they can have a meeting even once a week, once every other week to share what's working and what's not working, then they can learn from each other and share best practices, organization specific. That way, nobody has to just keep reinventing the wheel, but they can be in it
That's
together.
right. So I think maybe our takeaway for this message is uncertain times, we're going to have to be patient with each other. We're going to have to maximize our strengths and be creative in how we do that. It may look very different, but find something your employees can contribute so that they feel needed and useful. And that's going to help them just as much as it's going to help the business. So today we've taken time to address the new and novel coronavirus elephant that has appeared in our offices across the globe. And shortly we will return to our regular elephants who are in the office and also need discussing. And we're just going to keep this conversation going. And we do it not just for the 1 in 5 US adults who experience a mental illness, but the 5 in 5 who have mental health.
Thanks for joining us again. We appreciate you so much. And if you could leave a star, a rating, or a review, it really helps an independent podcast like ours get out into the world. So thank you for taking the time to listen, and we'll see you next time.